Our God is a God of definite schedules. Our God is not just a kind of God that just does things willy-nilly and off the cuff. Our God has a definite schedule and order of times. A lot of these things that have been taking place now lately, people have been asking, Brother Brian, is this the signs of the times? Is the rapture getting ready to take place? What about Israel being bombed? And what about this taking place and that taking place? Brothers and sisters, I truly believe the Bible clearly teaches that God has an order of times, and the times of the rapture and the times of the tribulation and the times of the millennial reign, they're drawing nearer and nearer every single day. So the next few weeks, I want us to kind of explore some prophetic events that are going to be happening. Now, like Brother Danny said, if the rapture takes place, I want him to finish the series out for me. But I believe truly that we are seeing the times that have been prophesied in the Bible getting closer and closer every single day. So what I want to show you this morning is we're going to look at some different defined, well-defined periods of time. So get you a pencil, get you a pen, get you a piece of paper. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture this morning, and I'm going to give you these things, and I want you to write them down. We're going to read them together, but I want you to write them down, and I want you to be able to go home and study them also. And so I guess the title of the message this morning would be, Well-Defined Periods of Time. Well-defined periods of time. Well-defined. So we're going to start in Hebrews chapter number 1. Well-defined periods of time. God doesn't do anything by coincidence. God doesn't do anything accidental. God doesn't just decide, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to react to that. No, he's got it all scheduled and all set up. When I was in Germany, one of the things we could count on when we were going to travel anywhere was the train system in Germany. If it said that it was going to arrive at your station at exactly 10:12 a.m., you can guarantee that that would take place. And if you got there at 10:13, you weren't catching that train. If you got there at 10:12 with 30 seconds, you were not catching that train. If it said 10:12, it meant 10:12. Brothers and sisters, that's the way God operates. If he says this is how it's going to be, it's going to be. There's nothing you or I can change or do anything about that this morning. So we need to be very well aware of what God talks about here in periods of time. Hebrews chapter number 1. Let me show you some designated things that he talks about in general, and then we're going to look at some definite times that are well defined. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, God, who at sundry times or different times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So it says that God has a past, there's a past time, and then there's a present last time. Some well-defined terms, because look what it says. It says, God, who used different times and different manners, he spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So that before Jesus came, he spoke to the people through prophets. He spoke to the people through men that he had risen up, and he used them to speak his word. That was a definite time. And then he says, as in these last days, these days after those things took place, he has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he has made the worlds. In other words, he says, listen, before Jesus, I spoke to the people through prophets. Now Jesus has come, I speak to the people through what he did. A definite time stamp, a definite not reversal, but a definite time change. So God determined that before Jesus, he spoke through prophets. But when Jesus came, now the people had Jesus to listen to and hear from him. A well-defined time. All right, now go to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3, he keeps speaking about these things. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 5, he talks about ages past.
ages past. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1, Paul says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote after in a few words, whereby you, when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of God, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So in other words, he says, listen, there was a time period where God didn't speak directly to people. He didn't speak them as a general consensus. Now, there were times that he would speak to Moses. There were times he spoke to Elijah. There were times he spoke to people individually. But as a whole, he didn't speak to people. But now that Jesus has come, he speaks to us. How does God speak to us now? How does God speak to us now? Through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And he says, listen, there was a time past that you had to listen to a prophet. And that prophet would speak for God to you. Nowadays, he not only uses prophets or preachers or teachers, he also uses his word and the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So there was a definite time break. There was a definite time of definition between how it used to be and how it is now. Now go to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, it speaks about this also. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 26. He's speaking about times past. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 26. We'll start in verse number 25. It says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." So before Jesus came, they were looking for the Messiah. He had been revealed that he was coming, and they were being told that he was coming, and they were looking forward to it, but it was a mystery to them. In the Old Testament times, they had no idea what a church was. If you were somehow able to go back in time and speak to Jeremiah or speak to Daniel or speak to Elijah, and you had a time machine and you said, hey, and they said, where you've come from? Well, I came from Victory Baptist Church. A church? What in the world is a church? They didn't have any concept of that. They knew the Messiah was coming because it had been prophesied, but it was a mystery to them. It's not something they could understand. But when Jesus came, he fulfilled that promise, and there was a definite time. There was the ages past. Now we have the present age. If you look at the book of Daniel, and you see in chapter number 2 specifically, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, you see the image of the gold and the silver and the bronze and the brass and the toes. God worked in a definite time period. He says, this is going to happen, and this is when it's going to take place, and this is going to happen, and this is when it's going to take place. And they say, well, Brother Brian, what's all that got to do with me today? See, here's the problem. We're too busy, absorbed in our present day. We're to the point where we're so enamored with today. We don't care what happened in the past. And we don't care what's going to happen tomorrow. All we care about is what's taking place right now. But brothers and sisters, God has a timeline. And he has said, this is what has happened. This is what's going to happen. You need to be awake and you need to pay attention. The Bible clearly teaches about the rapture. Now, we'll learn about that next couple of weeks, and we'll see what the Bible talks about that. But that's the next great event in God's timeline, the rapture, the catching away of the church. And let me be very plain with you. I don't care what Professor so-and-so says. I don't care what Dr. so-and-so says. When the rapture takes place, and you have denied Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the rapture takes place, guess what? You don't have a chance. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day the Spirit is drawing you to God. You need to answer and say, God, yes, I want you to save my soul. Guess what? When the rapture takes place, you won't have a chance again. And that's the next great event that's getting ready to happen. We don't hear enough about that nowadays. We see all the missiles going into Israel and Israel firing back and all these things taking place. Brothers and sisters, that's fulfilling what God prophesied was going to happen. We need to wake up and realize, guess what? Things aren't going to get better on this earth. Things are not going to get better. And if somebody stands up and says, oh, I can make things better, I can make things the way they need to be, absolutely not. It ain't going to happen. But there will be one man who does come, and he does make things better for 3.5 years. That's the Antichrist. But praise God, we won't be here for that. And I'll explain that to you as we continue on this prophecy series. When the tribulation takes place, the Antichrist will rise up, and he will make, matter of fact, he'll even reinstitute sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. For 3.5 years, he makes peace with Israel. He makes peace in the earth. And people are happy and joyous, and they lift him up. But at that 3.5 year period, all hell breaks loose. You don't want to be here for that. And I praise God, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, and the rapture takes place, you won't be here for that. Amen? But we'll talk about that more. But there's definite time periods. All right, so we've seen the past ages. Now let's look at the present age. Let's see what the Bible says about being the present age. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now remember, I want you to write these verses down, and I want you to go back, and I want you to study them. I'm giving you a general outline. We've seen where the Bible talks about ages past. Now let's look at the present age. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this present time. Don't let this present time define who you are. Don't let society's dictates, and don't let the pressures of what the world tells you is okay, don't let it define and conform you. We have too many people allowing society to conform them. You have too many people saying, hey, you've got to be this and you got to be that and you've got to let this acceptable and that's got to be acceptable to you. May I tell you, if the Bible says it's not acceptable, it's not acceptable. If society says acceptable, but the Bible doesn't say it's acceptable, who's right? Can you prove it? Can you show me scripture where it says that? How many of you can show me scripture where it says that? I just read it. Look at it again. Look at verse 2. Look at it. It says, be not conformed to this world. Well, Brother Brian, what is the world? Society, present society. The way that dictates, that says it's okay. In Isaiah, it says, woe to them that call evil good. And woe to them that call good evil. Well, how do you define good and how do you define evil? I'm glad you asked that question. Evil is anything that is contrary to what God says. Good is what God says is good and is taught in His Word. Now here's the problem. We don't want to be accountable to this because it's old-fashioned. We don't want to live according to what this says, because guess what? It was just written by men to kind of keep us under their thumb and to make us do things. No, brothers and sisters, this is the word of life. This is the instruction book that tells us how to cope with everyday life. We don't like it, but here's the problem. Our society has brought up a bunch of smorgasbord Christians. And I've told you this several times before, but here's the issue. You can't pick and choose. How many of you like it back when you could actually go to a buffet? How many of you like going to buffets? Yeah. You get a little bit of fried chicken, and you get a little bit of mashed potatoes, and you get some of them green beans, and you get some of them carrots, and you get some of them big old rolls, and you get banana pudding, and are you hungry yet? And you go through all these things, and then you come to the green peas, and you pass right by them things. You don't get any of those. But you keep going down the buffet, and you pick what you want to eat because you like that stuff. And you avoid what you don't like. Guess what? We've got a bunch of smorgasbord Christians. Well, they pass up what they don't want to read. They hear it, but they don't want to live by it. They don't like it, so then it doesn't apply to them. Either the whole thing applies or none of it applies. So who are you letting shape your life? Who am I letting shape my life? Now, don't think that I'm saying I'm perfect. Absolutely not. I'm not any better than anybody else. I'm doing what I can do in God's strength, not my strength, in God's strength, to live according to this. I make mistakes every single day, just like everybody else does. But here's the issue. I desire to be conformed to this and not society. Let me help you out. You have God's permission to not let the world shape you. Some of us are so concerned that we're going to be rejected. Some of us are so concerned that people are not going to like us, that people aren't going to like our kids, that people aren't going to be friends with us if we allow ourselves to be shaped by the Word of God instead of the ways of the world. Is there anybody in here who would sell their children to a sex trafficking agency? Is there anybody who would say, hey, it's okay, I'll sell my child for $500 and you can have them? That's abhorrent. That's horrible. It's wicked. But here's the problem. A lot of parents, not y'all, I'm talking about parents who aren't here today. Sometimes the parents are allowing the world to shape them, and they're selling them to the world and letting the world dictate how they live their lives. So what should we do? Should we judge them? No. We should pray for them and love them and help them. But the problem is, a lot of people don't want that help because of the present age that we're involved in. Be not conformed to this world. I don't want society to applaud me. I don't want society to say, yes, he's a good man. I don't want that. I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How about you? Be not conformed to this world. Okay, let me show you something else here. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter number 1. We're talking about the present age right now. We're talking about what's going on at this very moment. And if you can imagine what Paul was writing and talking about here, how much more wicked it is nowadays than when he was here. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 1, he says this, Paul, an apostle, not of men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So he says, I'm identifying. He says, listen, man didn't call me. Man didn't strengthen me. God did. Verse number 2. And all the brethren which are with me in the churches of Galatia, Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, who gave himself, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Jesus came to deliver you from this present evil world. So some people say, well, Brother Brian, what's my way of escape? How do I escape this present society? How do I escape the influence of the world? How do I escape it? By Jesus Christ. That's how you escape it. You don't escape it by doing better. You don't escape it by going up in the mountains somewhere and secluding yourself. You don't escape it by trying transcendental meditation. You don't escape it by trying the latest and the greatest religious movement. You don't escape this present world by doing those things. You escape this present world by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's how you do it. But some people don't want that solution. You know why they don't want that solution? Because it's too binding. Too many rules. Too many regulations. Too many of this and that. Too many of, blessed God, you can't do this. Once you get saved, all the joy gets sucked right out of life. Once you get saved, you can't have any fun anymore. Once you get saved, you become just like old fuddy-duddy Brother Brian. May I tell you that since I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I've not had to worry about waking up in the morning wondering what I did the night before. I've not had to worry about the police come knocking on my door because I did something stupid. I've not had to worry about dying and going to hell. I've not had to worry about those things. I have peace that passes all understanding because Christ is my Savior. See, here's the issue, brothers and sisters. Being a Christian, having Jesus Christ as my Savior, is freeing to me. If I die today, you don't have to worry about where my soul's going to be. I don't have to worry about where my soul's going to be. To be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. That's freeing. That means I can live my life according to what He wants and not what society dictates. Because there's going to come a time, and it's even happening now. You don't realize it. But you know that old story about the frog? And you put a frog in a pan on the stove and you put it in some lukewarm water? That frog loves it. But you slowly turn that heat up, the frog doesn't realize what happens, and pretty soon he's cooked. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful lunch? But as you heat that up slowly, the frog slowly cooks and then he's gone. Brothers and sisters, that's what's happening to society nowadays. It's slowly enveloping and changing and destroying lives. And then suddenly what you had one day is totally irreparably fixed. You can't do nothing about it because it's gone. You don't have to conform your ways to society. You don't have to do that because you have freedom in Christ to live for Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, that's all introduction. Now, let me show you one other verse. Talk about ages to come. Ages past, the present age. Now, there's things to come in the future. How many of you are glad there's a future to look forward to? I love the songs you sang this morning, Brother Danny. A future, what I'm looking forward to, that one day it's going to happen. How many of you believe heaven is real? I mean, come on, honestly. How many of you believe heaven is real? How many of you believe it's something to look forward to? We'll say, Brother Brian, if you're taking a busload today, I'm not sure if I'm ready to go. I'm not trying to take a busload, but it's reality. Okay, so we see ages past, we see the present time. Now let's look at ages to come. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 7. Or verse number 4, we'll start in verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now wait a minute. Did you see those? Look at that wording again. Even when we were dead in sins, he has now quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. And now look at verse number 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That tells me that the future has already been determined. Look at it. It says, and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's already determined. You're already there. Wait a minute, Brother Brian. What do you mean I'm already there? I'm here. How can I already be there? Is it possible to be two places at one time? What are you talking about? Now think about it a minute. If we're here, how can we be there? You know how that works? In God's mind, he's already seen it happen. He's talking about what the future is already placed. We are stuck in one dimension. He is already looking at a future dimension. He's already determined it. He's already determined it. It's a future event. Now continue on. Look what it says. That in the ages to come, if there was no future, why would he say there's ages to come? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, it's going to be shown to us just what it really means to be his child. Right now, we are stuck here on earth. This is not a place that I want to be permanently. Anybody want to be on this earth permanently? I don't. I don't want to be here permanent. I love Bryson City. We were down in Montgomery this past couple of days. Hot and flat. I could not wait to see these mountains. And when we came in last night and I saw those mountains and I saw the lights, I said, oh, I'm home. I love it here. But you know what? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. How many of you woke up with sore bones and bodies this morning? Creaking and cracking and sound like Snap, Crackle, Pop, Rice Krispies. Guess what? These bodies that we have right now, they're just temporary. We get a brand new one day. Praise the Lord. That's a future to come. That's a guarantee to come. The ages to come. It's already made a promise by God. Let me show you another verse that goes along with this. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Now, I want you, like I said, I want you to write these verses down and I want you to study them. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 5. He says this. And have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come. The world to come. It's a future happening. The world to come. We see the times past. We see the present times. And we see that there's a future time. So what's getting ready to happen then? The prophets spoke to us. Jesus Christ came and died for us, was buried, and rose again. So that tells me his promise to come back is the next thing to happen. His promise to come back and get us is the next thing to happen. When is that going to be? When is that going to take place? Next week, I'll show you some signs to watch. I'll show you some scripture that we need to be paying attention to that's preparing the way for Christ's return. I'll just give you a little bit of hint. Daniel, John, the Apostle Paul all saw the third temple. They all saw it in Jerusalem in their visions. They saw it. When that third temple starts to be built again, listen for the trumpet. And we'll see scripture that talks about that as we continue this study. It's getting close. It's getting close. Praise God that He's got it under control. Amen? Amen. Michelle, if you'll come, please. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. This is not necessarily a come forward invitation time. This is more of an inward thinking. Okay, God, what do you want me to do with what I've learned today? I've given you a lot of scripture. There's a whole lot more I could have given to you, but I ran out of time this morning. But I've given you the scripture talking about what it was, what it is, and what it's going to be. So either God is telling the truth or He's lying. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have your hope in Jesus? Would you raise your hand this morning? You have your hope in Jesus. He's the one to hold on to this morning. So I just want you to take a moment. Don't poke each other. Don't pay attention to each other around you. I want you to just take a moment and talk to the Lord. Surely He's spoken to your heart about something. Surely He's revealed something to you. Just take a moment to talk to Him. All our hope is in Jesus, as it should be.